Good morning. Our reading today is Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfilment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the purpose of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. He promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lent begins on Wednesday. Enjoy your pancakes on Tuesday if you're having them. And I do hope that many of us are going to want to join in the prayer course, because it will help us to pray better than we're currently doing. So please do let us know if you want to be part of that. And also, to help us with prayer, we're going to be looking over the next few Sundays at the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. So this was a letter written by a very early believer in Jesus, one of the great missionaries of our faith. And wonderfully, it's been preserved for us across the centuries. And it is a letter that is steeped in prayer. It starts off in the reading we had today with a fantastic prayer of praise to God. Now, Paul will get on to praying for these people later. He will pray for their needs. And we in prayer come to God and we pray for our needs. And this is important, and we should never be ashamed of doing it. You know, there are still some believers around who feel a little bit ashamed to pray for their own needs. There is no need. But Paul, before he gets down to praying for their needs, he wants to pray this fantastic prayer of praise to God. Because he wants to pray for these people in the light of the fantastic things that God is doing and the fantastic plan that God has. It's a plan about Jesus. It's about him dying and rising from the dead. That's where we take our stand as Christians. And the plan is summarized, or the end game of the plan is summarized in verse 10, where it talks about God bringing unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So God's aim is that whatever divisions there are anywhere, that they're going to be broken down. And he's going on to explain how these people have an important part to play in that plan. But think of today's world for a minute. We have so many divisions. We have divisions between rich countries and poor countries. Divisions between races, still sadly so big in our country and in our world today. Divisions between men and women, divisions between old and young, divisions between rich and poor. And God's plan through Jesus is to bring about unity. Just dream for a moment. Imagine a world with no divisions at all. Imagine a world in which, yes, there are differences, but they are to be celebrated rather than something that would cause a problem. This is God's plan. This is what God is doing. This is what God has put the church here for. And even though we fail so many times, God's plan for the church is that we pick ourselves up and we get going again. This week, I was privileged to be in on a webinar which came from the Bible Society, and one of the speakers was Yohanan Catanacho, I think you pronounce it, something like that anyway. He's a Palestinian believer, and one day he discovered the Bible and he read what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and he got to the bit where it said, "Love your enemies." And he said, "I didn't need anybody to tell me who my enemies were. I'd known all the time who they were." And he spoke very movingly about the way that God worked to change his heart. I won't go into the details just now. Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. And Jesus today is with us so that we can be part of that plan to bring things to unity. You know, people today talk a lot about inclusion. I believe that inclusion comes right from the heart of God. And I long for the day when all of us will be able to be at one together. Goodness me, we have so far to go. But Paul turns all of this into a wonderful prayer of praise. And he says, look, we praise God because in the spiritual realm, which is a different way of saying the heavenly realms. In the spiritual realm, God has blessed us. God has spoken good things about us. And he's pointed to the church and he said, look, you've got a job to do. Your job is to be holy. Your job is to be blameless. Your job is to be like me. And God says, I adopt you as my sons. Now, it's important we understand what adoption meant in that culture. Adoption was not so much about giving a child a home. Adoption was about creating an heir. Adoption was about appointing somebody to take over the family business. And God has appointed us to be part of his family business to bring unity to the whole world. This is an awesome responsibility, but God has picked out his church and said, it's your job, it's your task. And Paul says he's given us his glorious grace. We don't get this role because we are better than anybody else. We get it because he has chosen us, those of us who believe in Jesus. He has lavished this upon us with wisdom and understanding. These verses talk twice about God's pleasure. This is what puts a smile on God's face. This is what makes him happy. Jesus came to fulfill this great plan. See, when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we pray, Your kingdom come, it's important that we have an understanding of what the kingdom looks like so that we know what it is we're praying for. And Paul is fleshing out that picture here. Praise God. Yeah, I don't feel at all worthy to be part of the church. I don't feel at all worthy to have the role that I do in terms of trying to teach within it. But I do believe in the wonder of the church that God has created. He has chosen us to be something very special. So it's who we are that makes our prayers special. And we are in this role. It says that verse 13, that we are included in Christ, or we could say included in the anointed one. Anointing was the way that they declared somebody to be a king or a priest. We have come under the anointing of Jesus Christ. He was chosen by God to bring this plan into the world, and we have been chosen to do it too. And the idea is that when God works within us, they won't glorify us, they won't say that we are great. But they'll say, you have a great God. This was that we who were the first, Paul writing about himself, to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. So Paul says, this is God's plan. And this reading talks about redemption and forgiveness. Actually, the word that is translated forgiveness here might be better translated as release. We are being released from our sins. Yes, the world is in all sorts of problems, all sorts of divisions, and our attempts to get released from those divisions don't seem to work very well. But God has freed his church. He's placed his Holy Spirit within us so we can be something different. The risen Lord Jesus pours out his Spirit on us, and prayer is about receiving that Holy Spirit. And this seal guarantees, Paul says, our inheritance. This Holy Spirit who is at work in us so that we want to do what God wants us to do and so that we are actually able to do it. This is our gospel. God transforming the whole of the universe and the whole of the world and all the people of the world and saying to the church, it's you. Now, don't get me wrong here. Lots of people who are outside the church can do good things, and I'm so grateful for them. But we in the church have a very special role to play, and we have the Spirit in us until the redemption of God's possession. Now, I'm reading one translation here that suggests that some people are God's possession and some people aren't. Most translations, I think, correctly don't say that. This world belongs to God. It belongs to Him. He is transforming it. So when we pray, yeah, we do have to come to God and confess our sins and say, God, I've done something wrong. But we also come to God as people of great dignity who are called to a great purpose. Now, in this letter, Paul will go on to explain how they go about fulfilling that role. But today is about a prayer of praise to God for what He has done. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, at the end, that God has given us the Holy Spirit to the praise of His glory. So let's join in the praise of God today. Let's be privileged to be part of His people, and let us learn how to pray.